You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the DCTV podcast live stream. Joining you from Quiver Podcast for the first part of this broadcast, I'm Amanda Konkin, one of the co-hosts of Quiver, and I'm really excited that filling in for Michael today, we have Andy. Hi, Andy.
What up? What up? I'm so sorry we're late. My computer is a dumbass. It's dumber than Oliver Queen. No. So
what are you talking about? This was totally supposed to start at 10:30. Welcome to the 10:30 podcast.
I suck. I'm so sorry.
No, it's all good.
Please forgive me.
It's all good. But welcome, everybody. I'm very excited. I'm a little bit sad because I'll only be able to join everybody for a half hour, but it's an awesome day, I think, that you've got planned, Andy, bringing everybody together from the DCTV Podcast Network. So lots of people joining us. Who's the 11 o'clock team that'll be coming on?
That will be Times Podcast, I believe. I'm gonna check my schedule it's a lot to keep in your head. So
it is. But there's a lot of awesome people. And then, of course, the Assembly podcast starting tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. So another chance to see everybody all at once, to hear everybody, rather, which is really awesome. But thank you for joining us. Really awesome start, as per always, I think, on the DCTV podcast marathon, in that we are halfway, I think, to our goal already. So I really like that. I feel like it's a lot of people that maybe can't join us actually on the day for the broadcast, have gone to the fundraiser page already. This year, of course, we are raising money for Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Yes.
Yeah, which is really awesome. So if you need more information about that, so it's dctvpodcast.com/fundraiser. You can find the information in the link to the donation site there. Or you can also just listen to us and talk about the podcast, get the word out there. So that's awesome.
No, I was going to say, we have raised $790, which is 52% of our goal. And so we're more than halfway to our goals, and we're going to be here for like at least 9 to 10 hours. So please come and join us and donate and so on. And also, when you do donate, I don't know if you knew this, but when they donate, they get automatically entered into a raffle giveaway with some very DC Comics rare prizes. So, I think Rebecca has more information on that in the chat. Rebecca Johnson from Supergirl Radio, who's in the chat right now. Hi, Rebecca. And guys, do donate, like Amanda said, and we're going to be here all day. Despite my tardiness, we're going to be here all day. So, yes, I'm blushing still. So forgive me if I keep stuttering, because I almost cried off my computer. I think Kaden James from the death from the underworld is hacking us.
Yeah, no, it's okay. We'll be okay with we'll take it over again. And as we know, he doesn't prevail in the end. So thank you, Andy. So just a shout out, Andy will be here, I think, all day with us. Is that correct? You're sort of in for the long haul.
I'm doing Times Podcast, Krypton Podcast, Flash Podcast, Black Lightning Podcast, The Tomorrow Podcast, Positive DC Classic as well. So my throat is going to be dead by the end of the night.
Amazing. But it's good. We appreciate you taking us through all that stuff. So and organizing all of this. So every year, this is what, our fourth year, I think, doing this this charity fundraiser. So.
Yeah, no, yeah. Exactly. This is our fourth year. So that means that for our fifth year, we're going to go stronger than ever.
Yeah, exactly. So we really appreciate it. We've reached our goal every year, so we're really hoping everybody can help spread the word, get people tuning in and get people donating in. Rebecca just posted a bunch of the really awesome prizes that we have going on in the chat there. So there'll be posters of The Flash, Supergirl, and Justice League. They have a comic signed by Sterling Gates. That's really awesome. And then Public Tea is putting together a goodie bag full of DCTV merch. So thank you, everybody, for donating and that awesome opportunity. So let's dive in. Andy, I'm gonna try to do my best without Mike and try to not leave you hanging, because I know sometimes Mike drives the podcasts and I'm sort of along for the ride. So I'll sort of step into his hard to fill shoes and see what I can do to keep us going on a semi aero related things as much as possible. Which is great. And I think the biggest thing, we sort of talked about this a little bit on the season finale of Quiver, but that we're all really excited for Beth Schwartz's new season of Arrow. Arrow season 7 with a new showrunner, a new night. Everything is going to be really excited or exciting to see sort of how that, it'll be a different show. And I think we're all looking forward to seeing sort of a little bit how different that'll be. If you're following Arrow writers, it's really cool to see what's going on in the room this year. Andy mentioned to me off the air, he's really excited to see a lot more diversity, I feel, in the writer's room, and a lot more women, which is really cool. And they're also doing really awesome stuff and getting the word out. Today's important, I think, across the across America, there's a lot of support and rallies for the Keep Families Together movement, and I know that the Arrow writers are getting behind that as well. So thank you to the Arrow writers for being engaged with their community, and I think that that also shows a little bit that they'll be socially conscious in what they produce on television next year, and I'm excited to see that, because as much as we have issues with some of the stuff that Arrow does, one of the things that they do pretty well is talk to the communities and engage people on important issues, and we've always talked about that. The Spectre of the Gun being one of our favorite episodes that they've done. So they always sort of have their pulse on the finger of America, and it's really cool. So that's
I wonder what you feel like, because Supergirl this season they did a gun related episode. So I will wonder to see how you feel about that.
Yes, I have definitely not watched all of Supergirl this year. Andy, you know better than to put me on the spot about all the other TV shows, because I'm sorry.
Amanda is caught up on all shows in the DC TV universe.
I can talk about those with great prowess. No, I feel like Supergirl has always been sort of like that as well. Very conscious in what they're talking about and doing really awesome things. So it's not as if I don't want to watch Supergirl. It's just that I am a little bit behind on the stuff that's been put out there. But that's really awesome. I think one of the best things that you can sort of do in the thing that I always like about Superman, the idea that he's invincible, and same with sort of Supergirl, that they for all intents and purposes is sort of bulletproof, but to deal with the issue of gun violence is a really interesting and poignant thing I think that they can do. So I'm sure that Supergirl handled it really well. And it was a very, very intriguing episode. So.
Yeah. No, but let me ask you, what do you hope to see in season 7 of Arrow? Because they're casting new characters and they're probably writing the season as we speak. So what do you hope to see next season?
I mostly want to see something new. I think that Arrow had a formula and it worked for them, and I'm excited they broke away from that a little bit in season 6. But they didn't really do anything new with season 6. It just sort of got rid of those flashbacks and dealt a little bit differently with some of the character relationships, but it wasn't really refreshing. I didn't tune in and was like, oh, this was a refreshing new take on Arrow. I want season 7 to keep me interested, because I'm surprised, quite frankly, that it's gotten to season 7, to be honest. I'm very glad, and I know that it's an important show because it is sort of this flagship of the DC TV universe. Or at least I like to consider it as the flagship show, starting to bring that world together. But what I think they really could desperately use is a little bit of a reboot. And I think that that's part of what the intention is with getting a brand new showrunner and a brand new, I think that there'll be a little bit of a shift in the tonality and the style of the show. And that's what I'd really like. I think that they did what they did well, and they did it well for a long time, but it couldn't hurt them anymore to be a little different. And that's the thing that we always talk about, like the stuff that each of the different shows does something really well, and Arrow has sort of stayed stale and stayed the same. Whereas I think the other shows have maybe experimented a bit more, or at least had more fun in their process, because they start from a place that's a bit more fun. Arrow's a little bit darker and a little bit, grittier, and while that's all well and good, I think that there's room for some fresh air. So that's what I really, and I don't care, I mean, it could be good, it could be bad, But I think anything new will sort of be, it'll keep us on our toes. It'll keep us engaged. And we already love these characters and they've sort of taken them to a certain place. They're really fleshed out. They're really interesting. But they're getting a bit stale. So that's what I'm hoping to see. So, and plus, Roy, obviously that is.
Yes. Roy.
No, I'm so excited for Roy, to be back. So I'm really interested to see what they can do with that character. Cause that the season that him and Thea and Sin were around was one of my favorites in terms of the character dynamics. So
that
if
was
they,
fun.
Yeah. So if they can play that up and Roy and Ollie have always been really interesting to me as the characters between the two of them. So, I'm looking forward to that. And, I don't know. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with the William character. I don't know where there is to really go with that and how they deal with Oliver being a dad. Heard different rumors about different things that they might be doing.
What have you heard?
I don't know. I don't know. Just like that there's something, like, I feel like I don't know. I just, that they're doing something with him that might be a little different than what they've been doing with him in the past. Cause he really was sort of just there. And we got a little bit of that Oliver as a dad. I think it'll be interesting to explore William as a character on his own, because that would be right now he's serving a purpose to forward Oliver's storyline, but I'm never really invested in him as a character himself. So I'm interested to see sort of if they're able to pull that out and make William a bit more interesting and a bit more of somebody that I'm engaged with personally.
Can I say that he kind of grew a lot as an actor in season six? Like, I feel like he kind of, I think that actor really found himself in that role, and kind of, I think as he's growing and growing, I think that was really cool.
Yeah, and I hope that he continues to. I know that there's a lot of people that he can learn from on the show, and I'm a little bit sad that Paul Blackthorne is gone, because he elevated all of those actors. But I think Juliana Harkavy does a really good job, and the more opportunities that he has to play against these really strong actors in their own right, that he'll also, he'll learn from that and build his character along the way.
Rest in peace, yeah. Quentin Lance. You deserve it.
You know what
makes me so sad about his death is that he got an off-screen death.
Yeah, we talked about this a lot in the season finale, and just how sort of cheap, it felt a little cheap in his death. I get that they wanted to give him like a goodbye, like it was a planned thing, they knew he was leaving and all that jazz, but it just, after all that he'd been through, he got like the goodbye moment, which is, I'm sure a lot of people appreciated, but personally for me, I kind of wanted his death to be a little bit more spectacular, or a little bit more.
Right?
Yeah, so it's all good. I hope that they don't waste it. I guess that's another thing that I'm interested to see is what they do.
Well, you know what they're going to do.
Dinah's character.
You know what they're going to do with Quentin? They're going to go to the multiverse and pick us up a new Quentin lad. He's going to be called like the Black Siren's dad.
Yeah.
Well, no, Black Siren's dad is dead.
Yeah. But I don't know. I hope that it's one of those things where, well, he's got a new show. So I do hope that his new show does well, but it is one of those things where I feel like most people that leave eventually find their way back onto these television shows. And because you do have something right. Like the multiverse, you're allowed to be able to play with that a little bit. I don't like the fact that deaths don't have stakes. So I'm really hoping that there is actual stakes to him being gone, that it sort of changes these characters. Not in a like, you know, we talk about the refrigerator girl all the time and having these deaths just to motivate other characters. I don't necessarily mean in that way, but I mean that there's consequences to him being gone in across all the characters. And I think we'll definitely see that with Laurel's character. Her name's actually Laurel, right? I always
Yes, Amanda.
Okay, yeah.
You are a host of Quiver Podcast. You need to know that. Yeah, her name is Dinah Laurel Lance.
Yes,
in the multiverse, all Laurel Lances are called Laurel Lance. So, even if she comes, from Earth X and so on, like, for example, like, on The Flash, we did see the Earth X version of Black Siren.
Right.
And, you know, and she's also called, you know, she's also, you know, like, Black Siren, whatever, and so, but she's just a Nazi. But she's still called Black Laurel, yeah.
Just a Nazi. But, yeah, I get what you mean.
It was weird. And then, but yeah, so because that's the thing, Rebecca in the chat, she asked, like, she wanted us to have a little conversation about Black Siren's seasonal arc for the coming season. I think this is going to be the season when she gets redeemed fully. I think she's going to become either an anti-hero or a hero.
I'd like her to become an anti-hero. I don't think that she has the the demeanor to be a full hero, and I think she'd be less interesting as a full hero. And we talked about this before, that Laurel before was quite boring and we didn't really like her, and that Katie Cassidy has been...
You guys didn't like Laurel.
We didn't. I know you did. But Katie Cassidy, I mean, you have to agree that she's grown so much as an actress taking on the mantra of the Black Siren. Like, it's just a slightly different opportunity for her. It's like a slightly different character, and I think she's really thriving in that role. So I'm at my parents' house, by the way. If you can hear the phone, they have a landline. It's ridiculous. So if you can hear the phone ringing, that is what's happening.
A landline.
I know. It's so weird. Can
you eat a landline? What's a landline? Oh, I don't know what a landline is.
What is it? It's just a very odd experience. It's Canada Day or Canada Day tomorrow. So it's a long weekend in Canada. So I'm on vacation basically, but tuning in with everybody to podcast. I feel like every time I'm on this, I like have gone home for a long weekend or something. So it's a very interesting scheduling thing that works out each year. So apologies if you hear the
podcast. It's all right. I'm looking in the chat. Wally was 27. It says that he would like to see Emiko Queen introduced. Now, Amanda, do you know who Emiko Queen is?
I do not. I appreciate Wally West 27 explaining this in the chat. But so it kind of like Thea, so his half sister, but the daughter of Robert Queen with Shadow. And that is really weird. I don't want that. Shadow, no.
No, well, I mean, I think that in this version, they could just find like another woman that he could have cheated poor Moira on with and make her she has a different mom, but she is still like Oliver's half sister. And what's interesting about it is because a couple of weeks ago, there was a casting breakdown revealed for a mysterious character called Konomi Rhodes, who is half Japanese as well as half Caucasian, and she's somewhere in her late 20s, and she's like, she's a good fighter and she will clash with our heroes. And she's worked, like, she has, like, a Street Fighter background and so on. And I think that she could actually, like, that could actually be Emiko now that we've lost Fia. It would be interesting to see, like, you know, someone else, like, from Oliver. Like, because Oliver needs, the thing is, Oliver doesn't have family anymore on this show. Like, not by blood, at least. And I think that's something I would love to see in season 7. Like, some lineage of the... Yeah, exactly. Because otherwise, like, look, I love these characters. But I do think that one thing that Oliver Queen, like... One of the few things that I actually like about Oliver Queen is when he's around family.
I think that that's what they're trying to do with these other characters that are surrounding him, is make them pretty familial to him so that they give him that same sort of relationship dynamic. I will be really, really weird to not have Thea around. And that is the one thing that I get where you're coming from in terms of like him having connections, like family connections to something. So if we could introduce something in that regard, it would be really cool. But I feel like William... If they can do something cool with his character, it's this weird thing that we think about sort of family being like the people who birthed you or whatever, like you're above lineage. But if the idea that he's creating his own family is a really interesting thing to me and sort of a lateral move that I think will accomplish similar things.
Do you want to see Felicity get pregnant?
No. I don't know. Whatever. It's fine. They can do whatever they want. But it's just... I don't know. It's just like the least interesting part of the show to me is Oliver and Felicity. So, but if they do something cool, like that's cool. I think it's really cool to see like pregnant women on television in things where it's not about them being pregnant. So in that regard, that's actually kind of interesting to me. If it doesn't become like about her pregnancy, like sure they can do an episode where something is wrong or whatever they want to do, but if there's sort of like an arc where she just like gets to be pregnant throughout a season, that's kind of a cool thing because you don't really expect that on a superhero television show to sort of deal with family things. So that's kind of cool.
We had that on The Flash this season. We had we had one of the characters be pregnant this season, but her arc wasn't defined by her being pregnant, it was more about being more integrated into Team Flash, and, you know, we still, like, she still got to, you know, do her job or whatever and so on, so it was, that was really cool. I'm really excited for you to get caught up on The Flash this summer, if you can, because I think there's something you would like there, to be honest.
I believe so as well. I know that it got interesting, and the characters are more interesting, like, the things I liked about The Flash, I think they continued to do in a way that I'll be quite connected to. I've said this before, but, like, I could give a what about Iris and Barry. So, like, that's my,
I beg your pardon?
Yeah, I know, Andy. We're not.
Just because they're the best couple in the DC TV universe, you know.
I'm sure they're fine. I'm sure they're great. But I care more about secondary characters, and I always have. It's sort of my issue that I have with Oliver and Felicity is that I really don't care about primary characters in shows. Just across the board in, like, most things. It's, like, very rare that I'll tune in for the primary relationship of something. But I really like sort of the dynamics that happen with the secondary characters a little bit more.
Well, then Supergirl is a perfect show for you because they have great secondary characters like Brian the Alien, Kelly from Catco, and, like, there's and Rebecca can fill you in all in on the random characters.
I'm sure. Yeah,
of Supergirl.
I will say, though, Supergirl is one of those exceptions where, like, I totally am mon-positive, to use the Supergirl phrase, in that. And I don't know, don't spoil it for me. I don't know what's going on Supergirl, but I will tune in for mono.
He gets pregnant.
Oh, my God. I called it. Totally new. Okay, anyways.
Yeah.
So, this is so great. So we talked about this a little bit earlier, but I do like people tuning in now. They were at the Keep Families Together protest this morning. So we talked about that a little bit when we started out. I really do like just shouting out to that because it's an important thing happening today all across North America. So awesome if you were doing that. So thanks.
Yeah. Big applause for anyone who is out there for those quotas because America's rough right now. It's not pretty. But let's stay positive. What do you want to? Okay, so. We got a sense that at the end of the season, you know, Oliver, do you think the team is going to be all back together as one team? Or do you think we're still going to have the two separate teams?
I think it really depends on what they're going to do with Oliver and his family. Like, if they explore something with William and with Felicity and with him as, like, family units and what and who he is as the Green Arrow, I don't think they'll be together for the first part of the season. Isn't Oliver in jail? Is that what happened at the end of the end of the series?
Right, but my love, who actually stays in jail on these shows?
I know he won't, but I think what was it that me and Mike and I's thing that we really wanted was that for them to come back, like, after he's been in jail for a while. Like, that would be, like, interesting. Like, we don't have to see him be in jail because that's not interesting television, but, like, the actual that there's actual consequences and that he had to deal with them and that he was away for a while, so that the team is sort of functioning on their own without him. And maybe it's one of the reasons why maybe Roy is back, is to sort of lift some of that burden. But I would be quite happy if Ollie and Roy were a team, and if Dinah and the rest of the outsiders sort of stayed together as well.
We have to clear something up. They're not the outsiders.
Okay, well,
they're New Team Arrow. That's what I will call it. I don't allow.
All right, I
don't allow because the outsiders are probably going to be used on what's it called, on Black Lightning.
Okay.
Yeah, so every time Michael says, like, outsiders, I'm like, Michael, you're killing me.
There are outsiders. I'm okay with that. Okay, fine. I get it. Team Arrow. But Team Arrow, Arrowlet is fine. But yeah, so I'm excited. The dynamic between Ollie and Roy is something that I miss. Like, that was really cute when, like, that was what it was, right? It was, like, Ollie and Roy and then a little bit of Diggle. So I kind of
Diggle.
I know. That, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with Diggle, so.
They're probably gonna kill him.
What? Why you gotta be so negative?
No, I'm just scaring you.
Okay, it's much appreciated, Andy. Thank you.
Yeah, Rebecca asks, is Huntress still in prison? I think she is.
I think she is too. That's what people are saying here.
I think it's time that we release Huntress out of jail and that she joins Black Siren and Dinah Drake as the Birds of Prey.
I mean, I wouldn't say no to that. I do just want to, like, shout out to the 108th Sage or 108th Sage. The sound of Team Arrow List. Come on. That is brilliant. Yes, that's what they are. They're not the outsiders. They're Team Arrow List.
Okay, you know what? I think we should officially dub them that, Errorless.
Good job. That's awesome. The thing I really like about these, so thank you everybody for tuning in live to this podcast charity marathon today, because the chat group is probably one of my favorite parts about it, is to just be able to see what everybody is thinking and commenting on as we go. So thank you for being engaged in the podcast today. And thank you, Rebecca, for repping DCTV in this chat right now and driving people still towards that fundraiser page that we have, trying to reach 800. I like that we always try to pass like the 50% mark, or at least, or more than it during Quiver, which is really great. So first thing.
We already did it before the show started. 108 Sage says, you know, what I really love hearing is Andy and Amanda Dish. You know what? I got to say on the record, I want a podcast more with Amanda. Like, aww. You know, I'm not going to say I have a favorite host on Quiver, but I'm also going to say that I don't not have a, I mean, I love them both, but it's like, I always like, I remember like the first time I got to podcast with Amanda, I legit just scream. Like, I'm like, inside. I'm like, oh my god, I get to podcast with Amanda. Oh, Beth Schwartz just responded to you.
I know, I'm very excited. She's engaged on Twitter, so that's really cool. I shouted out to her this morning just about us doing our live stream today, just telling her that we get to raise money for it, and she's saying, "What is this event?" So
tell her, and I met Ms. Schwartz, and she's one amazing lady. She's very talented in what she does, and I'm proud to have gotten to meet her, and hopefully I will get to meet her this year's Comic-Con. I think that Arrow is in very good hand with young Miss Beth Schwartz. So I'm excited. You know what's exciting about this, Amanda, is that I don't think we've ever, at least until this year, most Green Arrow comics and stories has always been written by men. And this year, you know, women are now writing, you know, Julie and Shauna Benson, my good friends from the 100 and who wrote the Birds of Prey comic book, they're now writing Green Arrow, and now Beth Schwartz is running Arrow. I you know what? It's very inspiring to see that women are now getting to tell Oliver's story.
It is very cool. And I mean, we always talk about how awesome it is that all the women are involved in the Arrowverse, at least, like that there's more female representation on screen. And I think that the people making the series as well is like, it's a big deal. So, yeah.
I agree.
Vamp a little bit more. I'm finishing a tweet right now. Vamp,
yeah, no, it's all right. It's all right. DC Podcast is my favorite podcast for all my DC shows. Feedback and opinions from Ollie Alameda. Thank you so much, Ollie. I really appreciate that. Let's see what else do we have. Wally West 27 says, Amanda and Andy should do a Doctor Who podcast. Do you wanna do a Doctor Who podcast? I could be game to do that.
Oh, right, because we keep talking about having one of those and we never do. So yeah.
I mean I'm so excited for the female doctors. So I'm looking forward to that. So, let's see what else we have in the chat. We have the 108 says, you know, I thought this season was all around a pretty darn good one, though the team breaking up section was hurtful, like watching parents get divorced. You know, that was my one of the things I was so frustrated with when it came to that was really frustrating to me, actually, because I thought it was just too much fighting. And I just, you know, it got exhausting. So I hope that next season there's more of a unity. And, like, not only what like, because I don't want, the other theme I want for this next season, besides family, is unity. I want there to be more of a unity for these characters, that they're actually, like, they learn from their previous arguments. And, yeah, I'm just saying.
It's good. Oh, yay! Rebecca's saying that we just hit $810 in the fundraiser goal, so thank you very much. Again, people can post about the fundraiser on all their pages. I obviously am done tweeting and I'm back paying attention now.
Well, Beth just responded back to you saying that that's amazing.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Beth Schwartz. That's so cool. So she knows about this really awesome podcast stream that's happening all day. And she seems so engaged with fans on social media. And it's something, again, I was saying this a little bit earlier about what's in store for Arrow season 7 and what this new direction is that people are taking. I think that they really, and I've said this before, it's cliche, but have their pulse on the community and on fans and on what's happening in the world. And I'm really interested to see that sort of come to light as we get into season 7 and into these new characters and a new refreshing take on Arrow and on the universe. So I can't wait for that. So that's I think it's really, it's about the people that are making the art and the idea. We talk about this all the time, but representation matters and the voices that are making the content really matter. And I think that it's important to sort of point out that they've been doing some good things from a creator standpoint. There obviously was all that stuff earlier in the year where there was a shift in people that are running these shows. And I think that that's important in how we get this content that really matters, especially in a daily today. People are, there's something happening in America. And I think that the reason that we love TV shows, superhero TV shows specifically, is because they reflect the world back to us in this unique way. And they can talk about really important issues while keeping it entertaining and fun. And I think that that's the important part. We talk about this all the time on Quiver, but just how stuff can be shown to us and make us really think critically about the world. So I'm really, really excited to see Arrow continue to do that. That's what I'm hoping will come out of season 7. And I have all the faith that Beth Schwartz will do an awesome job leading this great team of writers to produce something really awesome for us. So
I also got to give a shout out to my friend Derek, my buddy Derek from The Flash. He used to work on The Flash, but he's now actually going to be joining Arrow this year. So I'm really excited to see what he and his partner Benjamin are going to be doing as part of their writing staff. So I mean, as we're talking about it, I'm getting more jazzed for season 7 of Arrow.
I'm glad. That's the whole point.
and also because I'm really excited about Batwoman.
that's fair. And I mean, I'm just going back to this chat here, people talking. Is it Ollie saying that we'll see Batman or a shadow of him? We talked about this again a little bit on Quiver. Just no, I don't think so. I don't think that they're ready to give up the rights to that character. But alluding to him existing, yes. The more interesting choice is him not existing. And I think that that was something that Mike had as a theory, the idea that maybe Batwoman is sort of on her own, which would be just an interesting, weird take on it. I don't think they're going to do that, but that it would be cool. So yeah, very exciting. And I didn't know who Batwoman was until now I do. And now I'm really excited for that. So the thing about Arrow I really like is bringing in all these other characters from the DC universe that I'm not quite familiar with, but am excited to see them work. So. That'll be good.
I agree. And I'm excited for Batwoman, you know, and I think we're probably gonna see Batman on Titan in some capacity, like in the Shadow, whatever, and so on. But you know, I'm excited that on Arrow and on the Arrowverse shows we're gonna have Batwoman representing. But unfortunately, because my computer was such a tardiness today, we're actually going to have to wrap up the Quiver segment now.
I know, it's 11 already, so.
Yeah, even so, that, you know, I think one of my Titans hosts is, I think she's in here somewhere. Corey, are you with us?
We're going to start to pass it off to Titans Podcast. So before it totally goes over to Titans Podcast, I do just want to thank everybody again for joining us, and thank you for letting Quiver be first. I love starting these things off. So just more information, if you are curious about the Quiver Podcast, if you never really listened to us, or if you do know us, you know what I'm going to say, but you can head to quiverpodcast.com for more information about the show. And you can also follow me on Twitter at akonkin, akonkin. You can add an 86 to that for Instagram. You can check out my tweets. Awesome. Thank you, Beth Schwartz, for engaging with our tweets today during this live podcast, so that's really awesome. And information for Quiver, that's basically, we have all our social media channels as well, facebook.com/quiverpodcast and Quiver Podcast on Twitter. So thank you, that was it, that's my spiel, that's Quiver. I'm signing off. Thank you, Andy, for letting me be part of this awesome day.
You're so welcome. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will have us we will hopefully have you with us on the Assembly Hour later today. So, we will. Cross your fingers.
I'll do my best. I'm really sorry. Like I say, I am sort of on vacation, away from home today. So we'll have to see how stuff goes. But I'm hoping I can join everybody back. That's 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, Eastern, which is great. That means we're podcasting all day. So I'm leaving it in your really well handled hands, Andy. And as we always say in Quiver, stay sharp, Arrowheads.
See you guys soon.
Bye.